that scene. It's unlike me, but just like him. And I was considering as the song was being sung and the words that are in that song that, but as it ended, I thought, oh, the power of Calvary. What the Lord did, it's truly miraculous. He could take somebody like you and me with the corruption that's inherently within the souls of mankind and take that and make us new. And I thank the Lord very much for that this morning. I'd like to turn in the book of Job. Job is, I'm going to read starting with the 9th chapter and the 25th verse. Job is describing something here that it seems like there's a note of desperation and hopelessness in part of this. And let's read over this. The 25th verse of the 9th chapter of Job. Now my days are swifter than a post. What that means, they're swifter than a runner who would carry a message. It's quick. My days are swifter than a post. They fly. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey, the eagle that swoops down suddenly upon his prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of my sorrows. Sorry, I'm going to have to get something here to hold my page. I'm afraid of my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. Job was looking at himself and recognizing the despair that the humans find themselves in without a helper. And he's describing this condition. I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? Here I am found in this condition. I know that the wickedness is there. What can I do to change that? That's a desperate place. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, I can provide all my effort to try to change and be a better person. Take snow water. Surely this will do better. I look better when I do this. Surely this will assuage the guilt of my soul. Surely I can go and do this, or I wash my hands till I get all the filth off of it. Sometimes when we have the deep-seated knowledge of the filthiness of our heart, sometimes we feel like, oh, I've got to do something. And there are people today that have been defiled, and they have the compulsion to wash. Wash. It will never satisfy. There's still the desperate need, the hole in my heart. And Job was looking at this. If what can I do if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean? Yet shalt thou plunge me into the ditch. Lord, I know in your sight that there's nothing I can do. What a despair. I want to tell you, folks, that's an accurate picture of man without God. It's a fact. Job was looking at, oh, what can be done? You'd plunge me into the ditch. Mine own clothes would abhor me. For he is not as a... He's talking now about God. Job's looking up, for he is not a man as I am, that I could sit down with him in judgment and let's argue and say, Lord, surely you've got to accept me. I'm trying all I know how. It's entering in judgment here. Is You shouldn't accuse me. I am not capable. But Job said he's not like me. He's God. And I can't sit down here and enter into judgment with him and argue my case and convince him. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Folks, there was a daysman came in the New Testament. There was one that, in spite, even given the fact that the great gulf was fixed between mankind, we could not attain to the holiness of God, that fact remained. There was one that hung on Calvary and put his hand on me and reached up to the Father and brought us together. A daysman. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me. Let not his fear terrify me. Then should I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Job was recognizing the deep-seated need that he had. Folks, today, there's still a lot of people in that condition, whether they recognize it or not. But God has provided a daysman. I'd like to look over now into a reconciler. Talked about intercession, one who would come between. Over in Hebrews, the second chapter, if you turn with me over there. If I can get my Bible to turn here. Hebrews, the second chapter, and the 16th verse, it says, "For verily," talking about Jesus. Now this daysman, this one who can span the gap, this one who brings hope to the hopeless, this one who can take a person who has been so ravaged by sin and convince that there's no hope, convince that they cannot be elevated from where they are. This one, there was a daysman, there was an intercessor, there was one who was a mediator. There was one that came, a high priest, that has come to you and I, who's able to take our, who we are, and take us and say, "Oh, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Over here in Hebrews, the second chapter, in the 16th verse, says, "For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels." This is what the daysman did. See, he laid his hands on both of us. He didn't come down here. Jesus, the Christ, did not come down here as something so supernatural that he couldn't relate to you and I. He was wrapped in the same flesh that you and I have, and he dealt with the same problems that you and I deal with. He was in all points tempted, just like we are. And he laid his hand on you and I, poor sinful flesh. And he reached up and got a hold of his Father. He took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That means flesh, like you and I. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, like unto you and I, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. What the brother here in the scripture is describing, and he's trying to convince these people that we have an advocate, Christ the righteous. We have something you and I can trust in. I want to tell you today, maybe the devil has convinced you. You look at your case, and you can say, "I've tried, and I have over and over and over again failed." And you may almost convince yourself that there is no hope, that there is no way that you can ever rise above the repeated failures of your life. I want to tell you, there's a daysman. We have a high priest who ministers at the throne of God, whose blood atones, whose blood covers, whose blood cleanses, whose blood is powerful and very effective in the hearts of all who will receive and put their faith in Him. And the brother here in the Scripture was telling the folks there, and it comes on down through history to you and I, wherefore in all things it behooved Him that He might be made just like you and I, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make what? Intercession. Listen to Him now, when He hung on Calvary. And here He was, experiencing all the hatred and rejection that man could pour out upon Him. Experiencing the physical agony of the cross. Starting to taste of the cup of even of God's wrath. Feeling this as He hung on Calvary. And He looked at people who still hated Him. And He looked, put His hands on them. And He looked up to His Father and said, they don't know. They don't recognize what they're doing. You know what He was doing? He's making intercession. He was making intercession. And you know, His intercession didn't just stop at asking Father to forgive. He also said, told people before He left, He said, it's needful. Because if I don't go, He said, if I go, I will send to you. What? The essence of God. Talked about the Comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The very essence of God to come down and replace in you and I that seat of Satan. That place where Satan had control. Send back down to you and I the very essence of the power of God that in this life, that we can have the ability through the power and mercy and grace of God not to be slaves to sin any longer. Thank God for His mercy, for the intercession of the high priest, this great, loving high priest. Now listen, He makes intercession for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able. He is qualified. He has the great ability to relate to what you and I are going. He is able to succor. You know what that means? Not only feel and be able to relate to what you and I are going through, but He's able to help you and I in our times of need. He's able to support, to cause you and I to walk in His statutes. This is the kind of intercession that we have. Did you know He doesn't look at you and I and wait for the opportunity to try to destroy or condemn? That's not what He came to do, folks. We know our own condemnation. Job knew it. He cried out, how can I help myself? I work hard. Why do I work so hard? If I'm evil, I have no helper. Oh, for the daysman. Was there something, somebody that can reach up there and reach down to me? Was one. And this is Him today. And God doesn't stand waiting for the opportunity to cut people off. You know what He's waiting for the opportunity to do? The Lord, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world seeking someone who'll put their trust in Him. That He might show Himself weak? Absolutely not. That He might show Himself strong in their lives. That He might empower little people like you and me. Did you know it was more than Peter and Paul and John and the disciples that He empowered? It extended down to those that they taught and told about the King of Glory. It extended right on down to this little tent meeting here in Wisconsin. It extends down to the people right here today. It extends down to Ivanek in 2011. The glory of God. The daysman has reached up there. And He says, if you put your trust in Me, let Me talk to the Father. Let Me tell Him about you. Oh, I thank Him for that. He is able to 7th chapter of Hebrews. And the 24th verse says, talking again about Jesus, but this man, because he continues ever, he's not like a changeable priesthood, but he, this one, our high priest, has accomplished. He has an eternal office. His blood has been accepted. His sacrifice, the Lord said, it's enough. The Lord himself acknowledged that this was his lamb. This one, our high priest now, it became, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save those who are a little better than the rest. Is that what it reads? Read it in the scripture. That's not, I read that wrong. He is able to save to the worst one out there. He is able to save to the most bound individual, to the one who has no idea how to get out of the turmoil that they're in. There is one that stands before the throne who's able to reach down and span the gulf and reach down to the depth of our need, to the hurting of our soul, to the confusion of our mind. There is one that's still God. There is one that still reaches down to humanity and knows how to succor those of us who are tempted. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession, to plead my cause. When I don't know what to say, when I don't even know how to... Have you ever been in those times of confusion that I don't even know what to pray for? I don't know my way out now. But you come to the Lord and pour out your heart. Don't even hardly know. Don't have any words to say. I prayed till words failed. And then I sit there crying and groaning. But you know, he heard those groans and he knows how to interpret every one of them. And then he takes you and I, puts his hand down on this one. And he comes and says, Father, I know what he's talking about. I know him. I've been there. Father, have mercy on him. My blood. Look at my blood, Lord. Father, my blood was shed for this one. And I want to tell you today, his blood is shed for you. His blood is shed. And I want to thank this morning. It goes beyond just saving, the forgiving of sin. His blood is for us beyond the forgiveness. His blood is for those moments in our lifetime of desperation. Saved individuals in those times, folks. Don't tell me you don't ever have those times. I testify for myself. I know I've had them, and I believe you have too. And I want to tell you, there is the blood that still, there is this daysman, there is this one, this intercessor, this one that pleads our cause at the throne. Ever living to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, who is harmless, who is undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, but... I lost my place. To sacrifice for his own sins, and then for the peoples. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes nobody. See, he was making this argument to the people of the Jews. But today, the Lord wants to convince you and I that his blood and the sacrifice of the Lamb on Calvary is sufficient for you and I. And he ever is there ready to make intercession for people here in 2011 with your name and mine. should ever love him. I want now to go. There's lots of reasons why we should ever love him. I think of the condition that we have, and a little bit like Job, when I begin to realize the need of people, and sometimes my own need, I feel like that we are absolutely desperate without him. Our case is hopeless, in fact, without him. And I think of what it must have been like to this king of the Son of God, the King of Glory. He had heaven's best. He didn't need to debase himself. He didn't need to worry about. He was there. He was the Son of God. But there was some force, some great power that caused him to leave heaven and look down at poor little humanity. What was that force? Love. The love of God. Now, go over with us in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. We ought to love our Savior. I have thought about when you take, in arithmetic, you take 2 and 2, it equals 4. And when you take the fact that I can't attain to God's righteousness, and the fact that I have, all we, like sheep, have gone astray, it's a fact. And the Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. It's a fact. You take those numerals and add them up then with the fact that God is holy. And He says, a soul that sinneth, it must die. And I look at the difference, I can't get there. I can't add these two together and come up. I need to come up with 5 is what I need to. I need to go beyond the number 4. But I've only got 2 and 2 here to deal with. And it doesn't add up to holiness of God. I need some help. I need something else added in here. Did you know what we deserve in the acts of sin, what sin deserves? It deserves the wrath of God. There is really no answer for it. You cannot reconcile sin with the holiness of God. There is a great gulf fixed between those two points. There's nothing you can do. But then, read over here in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Who's believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. This is a description of Jesus, folks. He grew up in the flesh just like you and I came up out of the dry ground. The root out of the dry ground. He has had no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But then it says, surely, there's another factor added in here now. Surely he has borne our griefs. There was a grief every one of us deserved. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one to our own way. We deserve death. We deserve eternal punishment. That's what we deserve. But there was one that came here, and it says, surely he's borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows. And when Jesus was in the garden praying, Father, is there any way that this cup can pass from me? The flesh of him wanted not to have to deal with what he was having to deal with. Folks, he could have dealt with the pain of the cross. The crucifixion itself really wasn't the thing. And now I know that's very important now. I'm not saying it's not. But that wasn't the greatest pain that he felt. There was a cup he had to drink. You know what was in that cup? It was the eternal wrath of God. He said, Lord, is there some way else? No, son. Sin has to be atoned for. There has to be an intercession. There has to be, the bridge has to be built. 2 and 2 only comes up to 4, and we've got to get to 5. We have to have, something else has to be added in here. People, we can't spend this. There has to be a sacrifice. And for a while, through faith in the Lamb of God, eventually they used to sacrifice bulls and goats to try to atone. And it only through faith in God's Lamb pointed toward this moment. And now Jesus is in the garden knowing that all the sin of the world, yours and mine, and those of the past in faith, and look forward to Calvary, was rolled all up into the wrath of this cup. Lord, Father, is there some way? Not my will, but thine be done. And he went to Calvary. And I believe the greatest agony that he felt when he was realizing, when he was feeling the very wrath of God being poured out on that tree. Upon the sacrifice that came that day, the sacrifice, there was no remedy for the sacrifice. It had to be made. And he shed his blood. The sacrifice was accepted. Do you remember toward the end of that, he said, it is finished. And we like to think, well, his life, he died. And he did. But in my mind's eye, I can see the last bit of the cup, he drank it. Is that enough, Lord? It's finished. I drained it. And the veil of the temple was rent. You know what that means? The sacrifice was accepted. The way was opened up that little people like you and I could come in to where God resided. The daysman stood there. The blood was shed. There was one who drank the cup. That cup that you and I deserved to drink. That one that you and I should have said, I deserve to be that one cast in the ditch. I am desperate. But there was one that stood up on Calvary and said, I'll drink it. Who for the joy that was set before him, he looked at you and I in our desperate case, and he realized we were hopeless and helpless without him, and he said, I'll take their part. Let me stand there, Lord. Father, I'll do it. And oh, when it came down to it, it was hard for him, but he submitted himself to the will of the Lord, and he drank the cup. And then his sacrifice is eternally accepted at the throne of the Father. Surely he has borne my griefs. He has carried my sorrows. Yes, and oh folks, this is more than just being sad. This was the sorrow of death, knowing that there was no hope. Oh, he bore that. My grief, he bore that. Yet we did esteem him. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But this is the reason why that happened to him. He was wounded for, did it say his transgression? No. He was wounded for our transgression. He was wounded for my transgression. He was wounded for your transgression. He was wounded. He took upon himself. He was the sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our sin, our iniquities, the chastisement that we might have peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are made whole. Oh yes, folks, I don't want to diminish the knowledge and the fact that there is healing for the body. But all the greatest healing that can ever happen to mankind is when the healing of the soul takes place. When the daysman reaches down to you and I and we break down at the touch of his love. Oh, Father, you can have anything. And that daysman reaches down and takes you and I and leads us through the blood and takes us now before the august, majestic, holy throne of God and says, Father, this is another one that I purchased. Oh, I thank the Lord for the purchasing power of God, for the cleansing power of the blood. I thank Him for that. He says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. But the rest of that scripture says, and the Lord has laid on Him all of our iniquity. Thank the Lord for His saving and keeping and cleansing power. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. This is a great hope. This is something that God wants to bequeath to you and I. This is something that was done on Calvary expressly with you and I in mind, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and has suffered His shame and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of glory for the express purpose of taking you and I and leading us through the blood, through the all-cleansing fountain, leading us into the Holy of Holies. The veil now has been rent, a place where you and I can come in now, right where God dwells. Thank the Lord for His glory. God wants that for everyone. God wants to make whole. God wants to make it where when people have found themselves in such a case, they've got so many things built up in their life, they don't know how to get rid of it. I remember when I was living in sin, and when the Lord had begun to deal with me, and I felt like there were so many things I'd built up in my life. In fact, I told one person when he was talking with me about the things of the Lord, about giving my heart to the Lord, I said, it's too far from here. I can't make it. There's just too many things. Seem like mountains. Things I'd have to make restitution. Things I didn't know how to make restitution. Things that it was just too much. And I thought, oh, there's no way. But there was a daysman. There was one that came down and said, yes, you're ugly and you're full of sin. And you look like you're helpless and hopeless, and really what you deserve is to die. But I want you to be my child. And he hung on Calvary. And he drank the cup that I was to drink. And he leveled down the mountains. And he said, won't you come to me? And I remember when He broke through those walls that I had built up and all the thoughts that there's no way I could ever make it. And He came by His eternal love and broke through those places in my life and humbled down. And oh, I remember the cleanness that came. I remember how those things I thought was absolutely impossible before, they were huge mountains in my life, they crumbled down. Yes, I went ahead and made some restitution. I had a lot of things that... But I remember the Lord walked with me through every one of them. Every time that I had something like that, the Lord was... And that was so precious. I remember I went to this one place and made some restitution. And the fellow I had to deal with was actually a person I had went to school with. And I remember the stuttering and the stammering that he did. He knew me before. He kind of shifted his feet, and he didn't know what to do. I had some money. Somebody needed to take it. It wasn't mine. And I remember when he didn't want to take it. I said, well, he dealt with the manager then. When it was all over with, I remember walking out there. Oh, it was so free. So clear. So clean. Thank the Lord for the daysman, folks. Thank the Lord for salvation. There is one that can take you and I where we are. And I don't care if the devil claims to you there's no way to span the gulf, I want to tell you today there is. There is one that hung on Calvary. And when he finished, he said, "It is finished." And the Father accepted. And now he reaches up to the Holy of Holies. And he reaches down to lame and crippled you and I. And he says, "I want to make your feet like hinds' feet. I want to make you whole. By his stripes, twist souls are healed. By his stripes, all the pain and suffering that the devil has placed in people's lives can be washed away. There is a healing in Calvary. There's a healing in the blood. There's a forgiving, yes, but there's a cleansing. There is this element that God has provided for you and I. There is another one that when we take our tooth, and which is two, and we take the Lamb of God, it adds up to success. It adds up that I can live for the Lord. Forgiveness for new creatures in Christ Jesus. It adds up to heaven-bound soul." I want to tell you that wherever you are today, suppose you may be here in the center, I want to tell you God came to save you. That's what Calvary's all about. I want to tell you too, if you're here and the devil's been working hard on you, the blood still works. The daysman is still there. There is an intercessor that would like to take you and I in maybe a discouraged state and revive our spirit within us. Give us confidence and understanding. "I want to help you, child. You are not forsaken. Let me have you. Let me help you in life. Let me change the things that need to be..." Oh, give yourself to the Lord today. Allow Him to work with us. There is a daysman. There is a reconciler. There is an intercessor. There is a blood that He can take us through, that the old life is washed away. All things become new. He can lead us through the flow from Calvary. And when we come through there, we're not the same.